Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast, co-starring 10-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion, Will Blackman.
Manning from the end zone, he throws, and it's a deflect away, and it is picked off by Will Blackman, the former Giant.
Tim Dwight watches it hit, bounces, picks it up at the 10, slips a defender, fumbles the football, it's up for grabs, it's covered in the end zone by Will Blackman for a Green Bay touchdown!
And now, here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to another episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1. You can read me on Bleacher Report. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. He is Super Bowl champ, NFL vet, Will Blackman. You can find him on Twitter, at Will Blackman, and he has a special side hustle going on now that I was not aware of, but it's going to be part of the podcast, apparently, and that's where it's Ask Will.
Ask Will? This is not a side hustle.
It's not?
This is just something that's making, you know, interactive.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, I ask people on Twitter. Once again, my Twitter's at Will Blackman. To ask me some questions. I said, ask me a damn question. That's exactly what I said. So I'm going to go through here and look at a couple things. So right here I have Tito S. Valdez.
Okay.
He is from Arizona. And he looks, apparently he's a Packer owner. You know how they're owned by the people.
Mm-hmm.
His question is, what's your favorite Lambeau Field memory? I will say probably my first game. Just because we're there, you know, since May, and we can see the field, but we never actually get to play on it. So I would say my first game, and then my first Lambeau leap. So I have two memories.
Okay.
Yeah, so my first touchdown, I actually had two touchdowns this game. So I got to Lambeau leap in each end zone.
Wow.
That was pretty special.
Which was the better one?
Definitely the first one, because it was a punt return to the house against my college roommate, and my best friend was there, who's a Raiders fan.
So, okay. Is there a particular place that you go? Like, where do you decide where you're going to leap, and are you targeting someone in particular? Like,
You don't see anyone. So, okay, boom. I get the return, score, run through, and literally I just, the closest area.
Okay.
That's it.
So there's no designated area where there anybody leaps.
There is no designated area. However, I think there is like a little like raise in the floor in case you don't have hops. Okay.
Was that built in for the Lambeau leap?
probably. I'm sure something went in. All right, second question.
Yeah.
Finish this up. So John H. Harris II. He asked me, if you had to play man coverage all game and you could only play press or off, which are you choosing? He said, I know it depends on the receiver. So A, 6'3", 215 receiver who runs a 4.5, or B, a 5'9", 190 receiver who runs a 4.41. Ha.
Wow.
For me, if I had to cover a guy all game long.
Yeah.
It does. I will say, I mean, for me, it doesn't really matter. But probably the 6'3", 215 guy, because I don't know how his conditioning is.
Oh, so you think he's going to wear down?
I think he'll wear down.
Yeah.
Because I can take it. You know what I'm saying? So I think he'll wear down. But I have fun covering the short guys all game long. So that was pretty cool. So, oh, here's a lot. Oh, I got one more that's interesting.
Okay.
From Senior Duba out of Boston, Massachusetts. Who was the best player you ever played against in high school back in Rhode Island? Okay, so people will say that I'm, you know, the most popular or most recognized football player out of Rhode Island.
Ever.
However, was I the most successful in high school? I would say no. I think the best player was this guy named Lorenzo Perry. He honestly was like Barry Sanders' second coming. You know, he was like 5'6", 5'5", and used to just shake me out of my boots. So Lorenzo Perry is the answer. He went to Bryant College, Bryant University. Yes, Lorenzo Perry. So there it is, three questions.
There you go. The side hustle, complete. Will Blackman, answering your questions.
Ask me a damn question. That's what it's called.
There you go. I like
it. Right.
And I do want to get to one other thing you mentioned on Twitter, which is the pull-up, the show, and the need for it, because we do need a show like that. We need it on a regular basis.
Dog, here's what's crazy. So, like, years ago, we would always joke around, like, in the locker room or something, like, man, what if we pulled up to, like, somebody's who works at, like, an office, and we just hassle them? Not so much of, like, hey, I heard you were talking trash, you know, roll up on them like they did on DAZN. But more so, like, we just roll up and just annoy them.
Yeah.
Just like they do at games. They come here and they just annoy us and talk smack. What if we just rolled up to somebody's office? Maybe somebody's working at FedEx. We just roll in there and just annoy the hell out of them.
Yeah. You could heckle them. Heckle them while they're doing their job.
Heckle them while they're doing their job.
But I love the you know, the Twitter bullies, the Twitter gangsters out there, the computer gangsters.
Twitter thugs.
Yeah, Twitter thugs. And the idea of somebody just showing up that they've capped on social media, showing up at their work, showing up like this, the one, I'm blanking now on the one that you put out there, but.
Was Zab Judah?
Zab Judah. Just showing up and the guy was shook. The guy was a meat. No, I don't want none of that, right? Just so, immediately. Yeah,
he said, I think he's washed. And then Zab said, hey, man, I need about 5 minutes outside. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
It ain't about that, bro. It's about that.
It is about that.
And I think if we would do it on a regular basis and put those videos out, it might bring down the noise just a little bit.
It would have to be, I think now that it's starting to get some buzz, it would have to be recorded already a bunch of episodes, because now people will start submitting and talking trash just to get notoriety. Like, people will take that L just to get noticed.
Well, they will, unless they actually have to wear a two-piece as a result of.
Well, they can also bring back one of my favorite shows of all time, was Bully Beatdown. You ever seen Bully Beatdown?
No.
Okay, so Bully Beatdown basically is somebody submits, you know, to Mayhem Miller, who was a MMA fighter, and they tell him about somebody who's picked on them, somebody who was tough, and they picked on them.
Oh, wow.
So if they thought they were tough, they had to come to this show, Bully Beatdown, and fight. And not only fight, but fight a real MMA fighter or a real boxer.
Dude, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, it already happened, though. It was already a show. I'm sure they signed everything. I mean, they were going there with like real fighters, and they would get straight demolished.
Wow.
I mean, knocked out and everything, dude. It was reckless.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you're such a bully. Pick on somebody your own size.
All right. So in line with this, before we get, and we're going to talk about Kevin Durant, possibility of him playing in game 5 or suddenly being listed as questionable and working out with the team, etc. But before we get to that, I have to share with you very quickly my experience today, where my faith in mankind was, if not destroyed, certainly severely diminished at the beginning of the day. So I'm pulling out of a gas station. I live on the coast here in California.
Big money.
It's extremely hot. And so everybody comes to the coast. Everybody comes to my part of the world.
From big money.
All over the Bay Area.
Rich.
And Buker. I am looking to pull out of a gas station this morning. And there's a space where they keep clear so that people can get in and out of the gas station if traffic is backed up or whatever. So there's this clear space, and I'm the first one to pull out of the gas station onto the road. And there's a number of cars lined up behind the keep clear section. And the light turns green. So I kind of look and make eye contact with the guy who is on the far side of the keep clear to see if he's going to let me pull out and go. Not only does he not let me pull out, but he gives me the finger as he goes by, staring at me. Gives me the finger. And I'm thinking, dude, okay, it's one thing if you're not going to let me in. That's, oh, you know, whatever. You're in a hurry. It's a Sunday morning. Who knows where you're hurrying off to or whatever. You don't want to do the courteous thing. Fine. But you want to double down on it, and you want to let me know that not only am I not letting you in, not only am I not courteous, but I'm going to drop the bird on you too, just to let
as
you
in,
know.
As in, don't even think about it, like, and have it, some.
Yeah, exactly. Now, hey, if I had done something to warrant some kind of exchange, or like if I try, like I tried to bogart it and I tried to roll out there, like I'm going to take it from you. Okay, maybe would have instigated something. There was none of that. There was none of that. So really disappointed in the way the day started.
Really disappointed. Listen, here's the thing, especially when it comes to road rage.
Yeah.
I just always take in consideration, he just might be having a horrible day.
Granted.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, and that's a good way to approach it.
That's the only way to approach it.
It was 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, on a beautiful
exactly,
day.
Exactly. The Lord's Day. Buker Day?
So, all right. So that's where my day started. The day ended. I went and I surfed with my son and my wife at a nice little secret spot we have. And as we were coming back to our car, there was somebody had, they'd caught their wheel in a ditch and it was spinning and they couldn't get it out. And there was probably about 7 or 8 people, all colors, persuasions, whatnot, who kind of came together and we figured out how can we get their car out of the ditch. You know, one guy was working a jack. Some of us were hunting up pieces of wood and rocks and stuff to put under the wheel, and ultimately we got them out of there and on their way. And I was thinking, what a beautiful thing. Like everybody was just, hey, how do we help this family out of the jam? And everybody was giving their best selves. So we started on one end of the spectrum and we ended on the other. Made me feel good. Restored my faith in mankind. I loved it. I need things like that. After the way the day started, I needed to know
that wasn't
that
even bad. Your day didn't even start bad.
Eh, it did to me.
You being sensitive.
Will, I got two teenagers. I'm sensitive to everything right now.
No, I don't want to hear it.
It's a burden.
I don't want to hear it.
Enough of that. Kevin Durant practiced. Apparently got through practice okay. Is questionable for the game tomorrow. And now people are going from, I don't know, assuming he's going to play.
He has to play.
Can the Warriors make a comeback? Can they win the next 3 games? Like, all of this. Look, if he play, I don't believe this back and forth is really starting to annoy me. I believe there's games being played here. I don't believe, and I may regret saying this on the podcast, I don't believe he's going to play. I believe that this is, if it doesn't look like he's trying to do everything he can to come back, then there's going to be some questions on the other end. But I don't know how you go from, you're supposed to scrimmage 3-on-3 3 days ago, and you can't do that, to 3 days later, you're going to practice with the team, and trust me, that's not a real practice. That's practically a walkthrough. And now you're going to be ready to play in an NBA Finals closeout game. I'm not buying it. I feel as if this whole back and forth has been about appearances and everybody trying to kind of protect their image and not really about what's going on. Because I'll tell you, I am still being told by those around him, if KD does play, it will be against the advice of every person around him. Every person around him. Now, KD loves to play, and so there's always that possibility. But at this point, the risk to me just does not seem worth it, and certainly doesn't seem worth it to the people around him. But you, as a professional athlete, may have a completely different perspective on this.
I do, and I think he will play.
Okay.
And just because he did not practice much with the team does not say he's not getting his work elsewhere, as in, you know.
From everything that you're right, that's a possibility. I don't believe that's been going on. Again, it's because of the way the severity of the injury has been described to me. And if you can't play like 3-on-3 with the coaches is a very low bar to clear. What is it? Chris DeMarco is probably the most physical, but he was in the cue ball, Kevin Durant's documentary on the basketball players in San Quentin and the G League. One of the guys actually got a G League tryout with the Warriors, but a number of the front office staff went in and played the San Quentin team. It was part of the movie, and Chris DeMarco was there and had like 35 and 20. I mean, he dominated. So he would be the best of the coaches that would play in this 3-on-3, but it would really just be a matter of, I mean, it's a glorified shooting drill. Can KD move? Is he comfortable? Is he not going to think about it? It's still a long way from the test of playing in an NBA Finals game. And it hasn't been consistent. They haven't been really clear on the process. And I believe that's in part because, one, they're not sure, they don't know, and two, they didn't want Toronto to have any advantages by knowing exactly what's going on. They like keeping Toronto off balance in terms of whether he's going to play or he's not going to play. I will tell you this. I talked to a Raptors official after game 4, and I said, what do you think about KD? And he said, no way he's playing. So the Raptors are not expecting him to play. And all the sources that have been telling me from the beginning not to expect him to play in the series, or that it would be an unlikelihood that he played in the series, are in the same place. They're like, it doesn't make any sense to do it now. Essentially because, I think Warriors fans are holding out hope that the series is not over. Pretty much everybody else is looking at it as the series is over. And it has nothing to do with offense. Klay Thompson came back, and Klay Thompson was dynamic offensively.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He was as good as you could expect as a guy who clearly was measuring how he played to protect his hamstring. Clearly was, like, I'm sure you've seen it, like, you can just, guys kind of try to move and protect it in terms of how they move. He did all of that, and yet was still knocking down shots. He was terrific. Offense is not the problem for the Warriors right now.
Right, they're lost on defense now.
They cannot stop the Raptors. I've never seen a Warriors team concede as early as I saw this one in game 4. And it was largely because they just couldn't get a stop. And it was almost like they knew they couldn't get a stop.
Dude, they are fatigued. And that goes back to my point I made earlier, a couple of podcasts ago, that just overall, physically, athletically, Toronto's better, just in terms of their conditioning, just
and
how
depth.
They are.
And
yeah,
depth.
Exactly, because everyone is just built for the long haul on that team. So, yeah, the Warriors, like you said, they're going to go out there and they're going to score a lot of points. Of course, that's what they do. But they're going to come down there. The Raptors are going to come down and just wear them out physically.
Yep.
Just beat them up. Just wear them out. I mean, last game, I can't count how many times Steph was on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, whether he was taking a shot or playing defense.
Yeah. And defensively,
Draymond can't stop everybody.
But the Raptors are going to make the Warriors work for everything that they get too.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing with Steph. Steph's got to work really hard to get anything reasonable.
And they are, just, because their mindset, the Raptors, is I don't care who you are. And once you hit that part mentally in your game that you look across and you just see another dude. Everybody is like that. Everybody on the Raptors right now looks across and they just see another dude. It is what it is.
Now, I will say this. This is what it was disappointing to me about. And I've been talking about how Oracle is not Oracle anymore. The fans have gotten spoiled. And I've seen it with other fan bases. The Lakers fans have been spoiled. Bulls fans, Chicago Bulls fans, spoiled. There's a point where the switch is turned, where fans show up and they feel like we need to give energy to the team. We need to lift them up.
Right.
And then when the team becomes really good and the tickets get more expensive and there's a different kind of clientele there, then it becomes waiting for the team to get the crowd excited, to light up the crowd. That's where the Warriors fans are now. It was they had a little bit of a retro feel in game 4, in that there was Warriors chants unsolicited early on. But at the end, it was really disappointing, Will, and this is why. Because this was very possibly the last game ever played at Oracle Arena. And very possibly...
It is the last game.
You think so?
Yeah.
Game 5, it's done.
It doesn't matter whether KD
plays or not. It's a wrap.
It's like wishful thinking. I hope KD plays, and I hope there's something magical that happens, but yeah. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know what, too? Karma-wise, ever since the incident with Kyle Lowry, it was kind of like, that was it, bro.
Yeah.
Bombs. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry. You were saying the fans and Oracle.
It feels like everything's rolling the wrong way. Joe Lacob's wife ticks off the Beehive with Beyonce, and the part owner decides
the investor.
In any event, what disappointed me is, so it's the last, very likely the last game, and very likely the end of this great run by this Warriors team, this phenomenal run of 5 NBA Finals appearances, 3 championships. I mean, that's a hell of a run. That qualifies as dynasty. No matter what happens, they lose tomorrow night, Monday night. It doesn't matter. And the crowd did not do anything to recognize that. The crowd was leaving.
They just went home?
With 2-3 minutes left. You know the crowd that stayed around with the Toronto Raptors crowd? They were lit. They were they sang the Canadian national anthem. They were chanting "Let's go Raptors." They were lit, and I would have expected a Warriors crowd there that would have applauded until they got a curtain call from the Warriors players. Reminds me a little bit of the A's when they made a great second half run. They were in last place midway through the season, made a great second half run. Made it to the playoffs. I think lost to the Yankees. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, the crowd made the players come back out on the field and the two appreciated each other. There was a great, great exchange. And that's what the Warriors deserved, and that's what the Warriors fans should have been cognizant enough to provide. If nothing else, give them a great, a resounding applause to send them to Toronto and come up with some chant about, we want six. Something to say, we're still behind you. That wasn't what we got. Warriors fans, a lot of them were leaving with like two, three minutes left. It was just disappointing. And
gave up hope, Rick.
They did. And
they're going to make a bunch of excuses.
And that's a long,
they're valid excuses.
Dude, but that's a long way. This is the same fan base once upon a time. They could be down by 18. And if the Warriors cut it to 12, you would have thought the roof was going to come off the place. And they would end up losing by 18. It would go back to 18, or they'd get it to 9, and then it would go back. I mean, just that's how it was. But the crowd was always, if there was any signs of life, if there was any show of, hey, maybe we got a chance, the crowd was all into it.
It's not the crowd. You know what happened is that you still have your old Oracle faithful. It's just what happened is the new wave with the Splash Brothers and KD and all this cool stuff that's going on. You know, everyone wants to shoot threes now. It's all cool. So therefore, you're getting the youngins in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the new fans, the new, I guess you can say, millennials that are joining the bandwagon or whatever, they're excited. This is what they walked into. It was like, hey, we're used to winning so much, and now they're dealing with some adversity. In the finals, by the way, it's not like they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not going to win again. We're actually getting demolished, so we don't know how to handle this. It's the younger crowd that's making it worse. The old people are good. The originals.
Yeah.
The Mullen fans are good.
that's like two generations ago.
Yeah, they're still good.
I don't know if they're still there.
Jason Richardson fans are good.
Yeah. The Jay Rich fans that we believe are there's still remnants.
Baron Davis fans are
still
good.
Remnants of that crew, the Monte Ellis fans.
There you go. I love Monte. He was nice, man.
But here's the thing with this Warriors team that they should not have. Yeah, they got KD. Okay, so that was kind of in a different place. But the beauty, and I've said this before,
it was a massive place. What do you mean?
What?
It was a big deal.
It is a big deal, but the Warriors collectively are still the little engine that could. KD accepted. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, they're all rejects. They're all rejects in one way or another. Steph Curry was the guy who, his ankles were so bad that people wanted.
Steph Curry was never a reject.
He went to Davison. Nobody goes to Davison and has
he was like 110 pounds. Because he was tiny.
Exactly. And he's still tiny.
That's not a reject. That's not his fault.
No. I'm not saying it's his fault. But what I'm saying is he's a massive overachiever. He is Seabiscuit. Like, he's got no business battling War Admiral. He has no business dueling with LeBron James. None. That's an unfair fight on the face of it.
The Warriors dueled with LeBron James.
You're right, and that's my point, which is they have always been a team that is greater than the sum of their parts. And that's a team that you don't get high and mighty about. You appreciate how special it is that their chemistry and the way the pieces fit together is what makes them great.
100%.
There should be some built-in humility, and the team has it. I feel as if the team never lost that humility. It's what made them great. It's what made them allow to accept KD. You know, another team that was full of stars or thought they were stars and we can do this on our own, they wouldn't have been welcoming of KD. It would have been, oh, we're good, bro. We don't have room. There's no room at the end. We don't have room for another superstar here. They were like,
I know a team full of stars that thought they could do it on their own. That's the OKC Thunder, when they had Westbrook, KD, and Harden.
Yeah, and they were young and they found out otherwise. And I think you know, Russ is still coming to terms with that, like the playing with a certain degree of humility. I think he's been humbled over the last couple years. The Warriors have always had that. They've never lost that. And that's what I and that's what is so special about them. They've always recognized we need each other. The one exception is KD, because he proved it otherwise. He proved he can be a star. He proved he can go to the finals without this crew. But Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iggy, Sean Livingston, none of them ever had this degree of success, anywhere close to this degree of success anyplace else.
Exactly. They're like Voltron.
Yeah, that's not the first thing that came to mind, but okay.
they're like Captain Planet. No, it's funny because when we would have like basketball debates in the locker room, I would always say, you cannot, like, it's so, you know, underlook what LeBron can do. Like, if LeBron and Steph switch places,
yeah,
Cleveland's not going far.
Right.
At all.
Well, now, here's the thing. There's always, the difficulty is, if building a team around Steph, you build a completely different team than you build around LeBron.
You do, but I just meant that team in general.
But yes, and LeBron is easier to build around. You can get cheaper parts and make it work around LeBron. Yeah,
get items off the market, black market.
Exactly,
man.
Exactly. You have to get the right ones. You have to get the right ones. You have to be a shrewd shopper. But if you get the right ones, you can get the right ones, and you can get them at a discount. You can get if you get the right veterans, you get the right skill sets, then you're okay. And Steph, you need more than that, which they were, you know, lucky enough to put together.
The difference is Steph's 45 will cut you, it will hurt you, it's difficult to stop. But LeBron's 45 is draining. He will wear you out, and he's coming down the court physical, fast, all the time.
Fair. Fair.
You know, that's how I see it in terms of like when they try to take over games with very little help.
I guess this is my issue in all of this. The Warriors fans became more arrogant and acted more spoiled than the team itself. The Warriors players have always appreciated how fortunate they are and how incredible it is that they've been able to do what they've done. There was no presumption, there was no sense of entitlement, there was no, this is what we are supposed to do. It was, this is what we believe we can do, but not that they expected it. Warriors fans expected it. Andre Iguodala said it to me. He goes, the first time they went to the finals, a dude came up to him and goes, man, we just, whatever happens, we just love you guys. We love the way you're, thank you. We love the way you're playing. And then just recently, pulls up to a stop. A guy looks over and he goes, hey, man, you got to get me another one. You got to get me another chip. And he's like, okay, three's not enough. I got to get you four. Okay, all right.
Because they out there giving the community that good stuff, man. They're fiending now. They got the junkie itch.
Yeah, you know what? That's what
they're
it is.
Dying they're dying for more,
and,
man.
You know what? And their supplier's about to be cut off.
Yeah, because once you start feeling like you need it or you got some sense of entitlement, man, that's when it's gone.
Amen. And they're going to be going through withdrawals because this is going to take a hard left turn. I do not expect it.
Not at all. He's out of here, bro.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why if he doesn't play, it even more confirms that he's out of here. He got his rings and MVP. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no, he has no pressure.
No.
None.
No. He's on to the next thing. And I don't really.
Especially for him to leave OKC to go to the Warriors. You think, come on, man. They said he doesn't like being the villain. That was a villain move.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, look, Charles also said he's not built for New York. I'm like,
all right. He's from DC.
He is New York. he's very opinionated.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's elite. That's every New Yorker I know.
Exactly.
It's those two things.
Guys feel like they never play basketball in their life, but just because they're from New York, they're the truth.
Right.
Listen, if you know how New York KD is, I mean, just go to his little appearance at the Rucker when he dropped 60.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's KD.
No, he's bought a place there. Like, I hear that, you know, his business people are set up, are
the
already
fact
setting
that
up there.
Zion's not going to be there. It's all his.
Yeah. No question about it as far as what I'm anticipating. You know, my only question is, he and Kyrie talked a lot about playing together. Ultimately, it's their relationship will not be the same if KD ends up not going to Brooklyn, because Kyrie is going to be in Brooklyn. That's going to happen. But I just see KD either winding up with the Knicks with Jimmy Butler, or Jimmy Butler and they make a deal for Anthony Davis.
He's another goon, you know? I like Jimmy Butler going there with him.
That would be. It's not bad. It's not bad. And as long as they have a relationship, I can see that. I can see that working. For sure. All right. That does it for this episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United We Cast Network. We have given away our prize, but we are putting together a new one, so please rate and review the show on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and then screenshot the review and send it to @BucherFriends. And you, too, will be eligible to win some prizes. All right, we did not get to the Jets' new GM, Joe Douglas. That's something that I know you want to discuss, and we will get to that. We also need to... We'll have Game 5 in the books, so we'll be able to break that down at length. And then, if we can, we also want to get into Jalen Rose in the New Yorker. Jalen Rose in the New Yorker? Really?
He's big time, bro.
Talking about analytics.
Talking about analytics.
I know. How about that? So we will get into
that. Is a great story.
We will get into all of that in the next podcast. In the meantime, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.